is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One with Provident, lending a helping hand since 1880. Visit provident.co.uk.
Kia ora and g'day, rugby league fans. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, and we are getting ready for the 2017 season, much more so because we've got a show for you tonight. And I got to admit, you and I like that background music. You just looked at me then, didn't you? Saying, do you like that? I like that. It's a little bit tougher, more like me, you know, roughly. I'm not at all. Leon Price and Luke Robinson are here this evening. Leon's not here right now. He's in an important business meeting, I've been told. But he will be joining the show within the next 15 to 20 minutes, he's promised us. Robbo, how you doing, Robbo?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How about you?
I'm very good. I'm in a very good place right now. Now, tonight's show, we will continue to discuss the latest going on up at the Bulls. And the reason why we're going to continue to do just that is because we have one of the owners in the building itself, and we have none other than Graham Lowe. Graham, welcome to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
How are you, Robbie? Thank you very much for inviting me.
The pleasure is all mine. It's absolutely brilliant to get you on here. Okay, so we're going to kick off straight into the show, straight away. So let's get it on. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show. News and views.
I'm speechless, Graham. I've got to say this. You probably don't know this, but I'm a massive fan of yours. And we'll get into the detail as to why I'm a massive fan of yours. And when I found out on, I think it was Friday night, that you and Andrew had got the control of the club, I got to admit, I was quite excited. Some butterflies in the stomach.
Well, mate, I've got to say, it was fantastic for Andrew and I. Obviously, you know, getting the news that we got, it was a massive different, you know, emotions that went through. You know, the excitement, the challenge, you know, the anxiousness, all those things, and that it just. But anyhow, it's happened now. We're over here, and getting the opportunity to catch up with you is just fantastic as well, mate.
Oh, you say all the right things. I'm very blessed, I feel. The reason why I paint the picture the way I do and say I'm a massive fan is because I grew up in that era where you were the New Zealand international coach. You had the players like Mark Graham, Clayton Friend, Gary Freeman, guys that I aspired to be like. I was never big enough to be Mark Graham. He was one of my all-time heroes, Mark Graham. But they were Kurt Sorensen. A couple of years ago, I saw Kurt at the Super League Grand Final. He had been invited by Widnes over to England. So they had a big sort of dinner celebrating Widnes's past. And they invited him to the Grand Final. And I clocked Kurt across the room. Now, for me, I've never met Kurt before. Grew up in that, you know, when I was sort of 8, 9 years of age, that when you fall in love with a sport, he was at that pinnacle of the game in your New Zealand international team. So I've clocked him across the room, and I'm just sort of like, you know, when you stare at someone too long, yeah, it gets awkward. He clocked me, and I'm looking at him, and he's looking at me, and I'm just like, if I pull my eyes away now, it's got to that point where it's awkward. If I pull my eyes away now, am I going to be disrespectful? But if I don't do something, it's just getting weirder and weirder. Anyway, I eventually did pull my eyes away from him. And then I thought, well, I've got to do something now. So I basically went up to him, sort of on his lap, and asked him for a selfie and posted it all over social media. I was like a kid in a candy store. So for me to actually have you as a part of what I still consider my club, you know, Bradford Bulls has such a great history with that club, is absolutely a bit of a dream come true for someone like myself. I'm turning back into that 10-year-old kid again.
Well, I mean, that's what the game does to you, and that's what the great players do to you as well. And Kurt Sorensen was certainly one of the greatest players the game has seen. And, you know, when I think back, the times have changed now, the eras of football change. But when I think back and put my, you know, I can visualise and see clearly the ferocious tackling of Kurt Sorensen. I mean, he was...
Some would argue illegal sometimes. What is illegal now was fair play back then.
It was different. I don't think he was definitely a feared player. When he first went to Cronulla in Sydney, he shook the game up over there. They'd never had to contend with a player of his speed and size and ferociousness when he was tackling but also his ability with carrying the ball and busting the line and offloading and whatnot. Just a great character, as was his brother, Dane.
Yes, yes, two of them. There were two of them. I know another set of brothers, but
the Price brothers,
of course, the Iros. There had been some actually good Kiwi sets of brothers. Robbo, we're leaving you behind. This is going to be a Kiwi-a-thon, I think.
First time ever you've got an ally, eh?
You know what I mean? I'm not outnumbered this time.
No, believe him, though. He's turned into a bit, he's an adopted Englishman. I think he started supporting England a little bit.
By the end of this show, I'll be saying bro and cuz and all that sort of stuff.
Started as a Kiora. That was impressive, man.
Yeah, see, I get a little bit of back home in there. There's so much, obviously, I would love to ask you. Your career speaks for itself. Wigan, success with Wigan, then obviously international coach. You state of origin, coaching some of the greatest players during a real golden era of rugby league. You know, when rugby league was truly represented as a high profile global sport. Mm. I mean, it might not have been played in every country, but actually it was viewed and watched, and the profile of rugby league was so high because it was one of the great professional games that we actually had in the world at that time. Now, obviously, with the so many platforms of media platforms that we can consume our sport on, a lot of other sports have grabbed that profile. But rugby league was definitely one of those core sports. Can you tell us a little bit about your times at Wigan?
Wigan was one of the most exciting times of my life, and you know, I was fortunate that I was there with Maurice Lindsay when Maurice Lindsay was the guy who approached me and. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just a great administrator and a great visionary, you know, probably one of the best visionaries the game over here or the game globally had ever seen. And I was fortunate. He taught me so much, Maurice. He was just such a great fella. And, you know, and his love of the club, his love of the game, you know, his love for the success, his vision and whatnot for success was very few people in any sport were like him, I think. And so I was fortunate. He was fantastic, and I'm sure I caused him a few headaches at different times, but he...
That's the job of a coach,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, but, you know, the players that were there also, the players were just outstanding. I mean, it was just, they were just such a
Name
great...
Name some of them.
Well, Allery Hanley, Sean Edwards, Andy Goodway, all those, Dean Bell. I bought over from New Zealand. I bought Dean Bell, Kevin and Tony Iro, and Adrian Shelford, and then I bought Ian Roberts up from South Sydney down there. And Ian came over just as a young boy, and Maurice had spotted in a rugby league magazine an article that said that Ian had a British passport, so he wasn't a
Yes,
he wasn't
that's
an import.
Correct, yeah.
So, and I'd never heard of him. You know, I'd never heard of Ian Roberts. And so I rang Mark Graham over in Sydney. And at that stage, Mark was still playing for North Sydney. And I said, listen, we're looking at this kid, Ian Roberts. What do you think of him? And Mark said, look, he's a champion. You should get him straight away.
What an athlete.
Yeah, he was just, and I mean, within about 18 months, he was playing for Australia.
I mean, Ian Roberts was, for me, he was one of those first, one of the first modern rugby league players, you know, treated his body like a temple, focused on taking the game to another level.
Excuse my ignorance. Is Roberts the one that gave Gary Jack, give him a good eye?
Yeah. How did it? Also, he was the first out and out, the first rugby league player that came out as an openly gay.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a very courageous person, Ian, and... That incident with Gary Jack was I was coaching Manly at the time when that happened, and Gary Jack clipped one of our players from behind over the back of the ear, and Ian rushed in and grabbed Gary and pulled him out of the way, and Gary said a couple of unkind remarks to him, and so
unregretted it.
Yeah, Ian changed the size of Gary Jack's head in about 2 seconds.
I don't mind forwards being like that. I've always liked them forwards that look tough to you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'll tell you a little story. When Ian first came over to, we were playing St Helens at Saints, and Ian got a smack in the mouth and needed a whole lot of stitches up under his lip and in his tongue, and it was unpleasant. And he was laying there, and Ian was saying, "Can't you give me an injection?" And I always remember Nicky Kiss, who was, you know, he was our hooker at the time. Mm-hmm. And Nicky said, "Stiff upper lip, remember, Ian, you're British." just a silly little thing now. But yeah, no, but they were great times, Robbie, to answer your question about Wigan. They were fantastic. A great team. And, you know, one of those years, I doubt the game's ever seen a better side.
Yeah, I agree with that. Okay, we're going to go to a break now. When we come back, we'll be hearing more from Graham and his massive rugby league career. All that and more, stick with us here on the Robbie Under Paul Show.
Join the biggest names in the game for the latest news, special guests, and opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. You know what? What a show we've got today. We've just been graced by the Earl of Rugby League himself. He's finally made it to the show. He said he'd be 15 minutes late, and to be honest, he's on time. Thank Bang on much. Time. Where you been, man?
I've just been over for some lunch with Sean Long and Lee Gilmore. We've been going through a few business proposals this afternoon, so I don't get to see them both very often. So
Robbo, just pick those names up. You just dropped them in.
So I thought I'd better spare a little bit of my time for him, and I thought the Robbie Hunter Paul Show can wait for a little bit.
Oh, what about that? Being bashed. Mate, your first, one of your bosses is here, and you turn up late.
Mate, I do this out of love of my heart, mate. So, I had to put the most important thing first.
Oh, the key result areas.
I'm more interested in going into business with Lee Gilmore. Surely that is a minefield in itself.
No, it's not though, because if you know Lee Gilmore like I do, Lee is one of my best friends. He is so thorough, and he does not leave. He's so detailed.
It would drive you nuts, though, wouldn't it?
At the moment, we're doing this thing with his pensions, putting his pensions into a commercial property.
Yeah, yeah.
I have no idea what I'm doing. I've just basically got this pot of money there that's looking to be invested.
But he knows from A to Z
exactly what goes on with all this money, where it can be invested, how we can make money. So he's awesome, because I don't need to do it. I'll just leave it to him.
He does it all effectively the work. Will work as a financial advisor once he hangs up the boots.
He isn't financial advisor.
When I mean, hang up the boots as a coach.
Yeah, so it's good. It's good.
So he's actually, he's a financial advisor masquerading as a coach, isn't he at the moment?
He is, absolutely.
So we're going to get back to the rugby league talk right now. Lowie, you're just telling us about your time at Wigan. Oh, during that period, what were the real highlights for you?
I think one of the highlights that sticks in my mind was the first day that I went down to the club, to the office, and I walked in. It was a rainy old Wigan day, and didn't see anyone around. There was an old fella, a really old guy with an overcoat on and a flat cap, standing at the doorway to the office there, you know, where you're going to Wigan. And I looked at him, and he said, "Hey, you new coach." I can't put the accent on, but and I said,
"Mate, I've been here 22 years. I can't do that."
I said, "Yes, mate." And he said, "Two things, lad." And I said, "What's that?" And he said, "Beat St. Helens and get us to Wembley. If not, F off." I thought he was
two objectives. He kept it very simple for you.
He did
just beat St. Helens and get to Wembley. Because to get to Wembley, you've got to beat all the teams anyway. Yeah. So effectively, he's making it easier for you.
Yeah, well, he did. But further down the hallway was Morris Lindsay, and you know, as I mentioned before, a fantastic guy, and I was fortunate to spend the time with him that I did. But you know, there's just so many highlights at the club, and watching different players develop as they did, and I was just so proud of all of them, how they played the whole time, and you know, to be have a team led by Ellery Hanley, the professionalism of the guy was just fantastic, and you know, later on you become great friends with them all, and you know, I can say that no player ever let me down once ever, and not only at Wigan, but at Otahoo, where I first started, but also at Manly, and you know, any other team.
Mm-hmm. That's a great attribute to have as a coach. Obviously, you're bringing the best out of the players if you can really consider, you know, really measure your players by that benchmark.
Yeah, well, one of the interesting things that happened at Wigan when I went there, training wasn't too bad, because it was the first time that I'd really heard these English accents up close. And one or two of them had really broad accents. One that sticks in mind is Andy Goodway. And I really struggled to understand what he was talking about half the time. And so I,
so did his wife, though.
So we went through. We
and
went
his
through,
teammates.
We went through the first couple of weeks or so of training. And then in the end, I said to Morris, look, I'm really struggling here. Just going to, you know, it's embarrassing because I honestly can't understand what they're saying to me, these different accents. So Morris introduced me to a guy called Jeff Hurst, who was a school teacher in a primary school at St. Helens. And Jeff came along, and the basically the deal was he was just going to have a look and see if he could help me. And Jeff ended up staying with me for 3 years as my assistant, and he was the interpreter to start with. So once the game started, and the guys were really excited coming in the dressing room at halftime, I had honestly no idea what they were blinking talking about. And so I just used to let them all talk, and then I'd say to Jeff Hurst, what did he say? That's how we operated for the first while.
The translator.
Yeah, I'm not being disrespectful to the accents.
I had to be a translator for Leslie Vinicolo and Joe Vagana, and there you broke in, you know, Polynesian accents. So I had to explain that to the boys as well.
Akuma's very good at that, though. We have Akuma Tai who plays for us.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, for the first 6 months, we didn't think he could speak. And then, but he always answered you, and it benefited him. And we realised, I think you were just playing us all.
To me, the Waikano was similar.
But I've got a little bit similar story with Rick Stone came over this year, and obviously I've got a very, I'd class it as sexy voice, but everyone else would probably class it as very.
You haven't got a sexy head.
I ain't got a sexy anything really. I think the class is a bit husky and a bit gravelly. Rick Stone just used to look at me for about first few weeks, literally just nodding his head, smiling. And only after a couple of weeks, says, Robbo, I have no idea what you've been saying to the last few weeks. Anyway, we started winning after a couple of weeks anyway, so he must have started listening to me then.
That was the kiss. You need done. Communication is key. Lowie, on your obviously you left Wigan. Some amazing times here, dealing with some amazing athletes. Tell us about your time down under.
Well, I was fortunate. I left Wigan for one reason. My daughters were back in Brisbane at the time,
mm-hmm.
and my first wife and I had separated. We were divorced, and she gave me a call and said that one of the girls was having a little bit of trouble at school, and could I come back in the off season and see if I could just, you know, help things out. And I thought about it overnight, and then the more I thought about it, the more I thought, well, I can't do it sort of remotely, and I can't, you know, just in 2 weeks I can't accomplish anything really. So I saw Morris the next day and resigned. And the moment that it became public that I'd resigned, I got an offer from every club in Australia, every single one I got an offer from. And but I ended up going to Manly because Ken Arthurson was the boss of the Australian Rugby League, and also at that time the international chairman, but he was also the chairman of the Manly Club.
And you knew him before?
I knew him, yeah. He'd been a good friend of mine when I was the Kiwi coach. And he just rang me up. He said, Lowie, you're not going anywhere. You're coming here. And I said, he said, no buts. He said, you're coming here. So that was the end. I went to Manly. And it was a fantastic period, you know, and I was fortunate that from there, the second year I was there, I got the call from Queensland Rugby League to see if I'd take over the Queensland State of Origin job. And I mean, that was such an honour and a thrill, but it was also a daunting task because I was replacing Arthur Beetson, you know, probably no bigger name in the game in Australia at that period of time. And they sacked Arthur and put me in. It was just, I mean, I was proud, but I was also embarrassed, you know, And so it was fantastic. It was.
I mean, that's part of the growth of yourself as a professional, isn't it? Is that, what a lot of people don't realise, you have these own hesitations about yourself. I remember the first time I was ever gifted an international jumper. And to be honest, it is a gift. You're just sort of holding that position for the time being.
Yeah.
And I just remember thinking, you know, are you worthy?
Yeah.
You know, when I was that 10-year-old boy watching my heroes delivering on the field and, you know, so strong and so hard. And I just think, you know, it's not... I didn't know whether or not I was worthy of that jumper. And I remember going into probably the second tackle in that first test and got run over by Rodney Howe, literally just footprints all the way up me. And as we were running back into the line, because I don't know who was around me, the back row sort of covered up my mistake. But as we're running back into the defensive line, Quinton Pongia was just giving it to me. He was like, oh, you soft little. I got to admit, I didn't miss another tackle at international level for another 5 years. But those sort of messages, they get into you. Yeah. And, you know, you've got to then take your game to another place.
Yeah, you've got to be able to cope with it, you know. And yeah. You know, others have thought you're good enough and they put you in that position. So you're a guardian, really, of that role for a little while. Whether you're playing in a jersey, it's number 2 or 11 or 10, or it doesn't matter. But you are a guardian. Or if you're a coach, you're a guardian of that position just for a little while. And you don't own it. You're just protecting that jersey just for a little while until the next bloke comes along and he has that jersey. So while you've got that responsibility, you have to do the best you possibly can.
I agree. Okay, we're going to go to another break. When we come back, we're going to tackle the issue of head coaches for the Bradford Bulls, and I think we might have one of the front runners on the line. So stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
All right, welcome back in the studio. We have Luke Robinson, Leon Price and Graham Lowe. And actually, I said I was going to do it. We're going to start talking about the Bradford Bulls. You see the social media all lighting up. Oh, great to hear all the background stories, but we want to know about the Bulls. Well, we've got another exclusive. We've got an exclusive by having one of the owners in the studio tonight. Another exclusive. Apparently, the front runner, according to The Guardian, according to a lot of the media, the front runner for that coaching job is none other than my big brother, Henry Paul. And we have him on the line all the way from Dubai. Henry, are you there?
Assalamu alaikum.
Malaikum salam, I think that's right. Henry, actually, when I called you a couple of days ago I said, have you got something to tell me? You know, social media is rife that you're going to take over the job as a head coach. You knew nothing about it, did you?
No, well, it gave my secret away. You know, social media obviously knows first. So, yeah, it's true. I'm the next coach of the Bradford Bulls. So, sorry if I wanted to tell everyone first, but...
You've skipped one part. You've actually skipped one part of the process, though. You have to have an interview with the actual owners before you can claim being the head coach.
And Not these days. You can just go on word of mouth and someone says it.
Telegraph and Argus and that prints it, and the Guardian prints it. I reckon that's the Guardian. That's pretty cool, though. You know, your profile's still high if you can get an interest from a national rag.
Well, I actually spread the word. I didn't think it would go that far.
Oh, so you planted the seed, did you?
So, I've got to be proactive these days in coaching. So, yeah, I spun it out there. I used my alias, and it obviously got around the world and got back to the Guardian. And, yeah, it's true. Is that right, Graham?
You got it, Henry. There was just a couple of questions we wanted to ask you, though, before you went that far. Just a little thing about your experience. What is it?
Well, look, I've coached...
He's going to get serious now. He's going to get serious. He's actually going to actually sell himself. Go on, sorry.
I'm just going to go and get my resume just to read it back to you.
Afford it.
Pretty much all to do with rugby union. Yeah, my experience in rugby league is, other than playing, my playing career. No, so look, I don't know where it's come from. It's obviously really flattering, but a lot of the comments after you read some of these blogs are, you know, he's got no experience coaching, and they're right. You know, I got most of my coaching, all of my coaching, and rugby union.
I got to admit, it caused me a bit of a headache yesterday because I was tapping away on my computer, working away in my office, and my phone just started going like crazy. And I actually run my phone out of battery, and literally it was just everyone trying to contact me and say, "Henry's got the job. Henry's got, you know, Henry's a front runner." And I think isn't it weird?
I think that's the way it works. Those phone calls, Robbie, were all about why you changed your last name. I'm still
ready. You need to learn to let that one go. Either, you know, you either need to learn to let it go or embrace it. Henry Hunter Paul. It's got a certain ring to it. No?
Yeah, I don't think my wife's not going to be very happy about that.
No, she wouldn't, would she? Actually, are you going to take your wife's name when you do actually pluck up the courage? Actually, this is going into the wrong sphere. I'm going to get you into trouble with Philippa if I continue down this line.
Yeah, let's
sidestep that. Henry, look, we're going to get back to the real rugby. It's a pleasure having you on the show. Just tell us a little quickly just what you're up to in Dubai, other than catching a tan.
Yes, I've got a rugby union academy out here. Slowly building and growing numbers. I coach one of the top teams, rugby union teams out here in the Gulf rugby. And we play the likes of Bahrain, Doha, a couple of other teams in Dubai, the Hurricanes, Exiles, a couple of teams down in Abu Dhabi, Saracens and the Harlequins. So, my time's pretty busy, full on. I'm really enjoying it out here in Dubai. My short-term future's out here and really, really enjoying it.
All right, brilliant. It's lovely to hear from you, big brother.
Look, I just want to say, for Graham and the guys that have taken over the balls, and I wish them all the best. I want the team of Bradford. I love my time there. The city and the fans deserve a good, club that's run well, that's got the people behind it, that's got a good, brings the youth from around the area, some good players around that Bradford area. So good luck to the guys, and I want to see them do well.
Thank you very much, Henry.
All right. Cheers, big brother. We'll speak to you later.
Yes, you mate.
All right. Henry Paul. Henry Hunter Paul. It's got a certain ring to it, eh?
Yeah, he was my idol growing up. Yeah,
bring up Henry's name, you've got to bring that up.
I used to have him all over me. But you were a little picture of you, Rob,
in the background with Henry. The only photos I got on your wall was actually I stood behind Henry, wasn't I?
A little bit, yeah. You were my hero growing up with Henry. So, yeah, it's been nice listening to him. And he's obviously the front runner, isn't he?
The front runner. Do you see what he did at the end there, though? He was actually, that was his resume, by wishing you best of luck and doing all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, he's got class. He's got class.
It runs in the family, actually.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, mate. But I tell you, obviously there's been a lot of speculation about a lot of things going on at the club. And, firstly, I can tell all your listeners how proud and excited we are. We know it's not a quick fix, but we're going about it as efficiently and as quickly as we possibly can. We know that the fantastic fans of the club were all looking forward to seeing Leon signed and agreeing terms today, and it was such a thrill to sit down and talk with him, shake hands with him, and when he left the room, he'd agreed terms, I think that will make a lot of people in this area and other areas very, very happy, and we're certainly excited.
Well, he's the Prince of Bradford, don't you? That was his nickname growing up as a young player in the Bradford Bulls squad that I played in. He is the Prince of Bradford. At some stage, you actually become the king at some stage, don't you?
I think some people are already calling me the king. What a joke, I don't know.
Talk about your pleasure, obviously. A bit of a landmark. Obviously, one of your passions massively was to come back and join the Bulls and finish your career here.
Yeah, it was. It was obviously a big, massive passion of mine to come back to my hometown club, the team that I first started playing for. I'm not going to lie, it's been a very, very tough, difficult 9 weeks. Probably toughest 9 weeks of my life, really. Lots of uncertainty since we went into administration. My family have not been paid for 2 weeks, having all that stress that I've never had before in my life. Mm-hmm. But we've come through the other side now, so to finally have a meeting with the new owners and with Lowy and Chalmers today, it was really pleasing just to get that weight off my shoulders, kind of thing.
I mean, that test, of course, it's tough. And for listeners at home, wherever you're listening tonight, you need to understand that Leon being that sort of marquee signing, but also the most experienced player within the squad, all roads from a player perspective leads back to Leon. So you would have taken on the responsibility of trying to keep players informed. And that becomes tough because you can watch younger players and they're struggling and you take on that emotion yourself, don't you?
Yeah, it's been draining. I'll be honest with you now, it's been draining because I'm trying to be as honest a person as I can be always through life. And any information that I get, I like to pass on to the boys so they're not kept in the dark, because what you find in these situations, in these difficult times, is the players find out last. Media find out first, fans find out second, and the players find out third. And it's not right when really the players should be the first people to find out, and they don't. So I've tried to kind of keep my you know, ears to the ground and find out what's going on and information, pass it on to the players. And it's just draining because then when the players want to know any information, they come straight to me.
Yeah, and that's the thing, it's draining, isn't it? But now it's done. Now the focus is on the growth, survival in the championship, and doing as well as you can and finishing your career on higher note as possible.
Yeah, I don't think we should. I don't think we should underestimate the task that we've got in front of us to just to survive. It's a massive, massive task. We are really, really short on numbers. We've had no pre-season basically in the 20 years that I've played. It's been the worst pre-season ever. We're nowhere near. So the start is going to be difficult. We're going to have to really invest. You know, we've got to train now and up till the first game and train really hard and get ourselves back in shape. And then it's going to be about building us fitness and getting some combinations. We've not done much rugby together. It's quite a new team, so. It's a very big task. It's one that we're all up for. It's one that I'm massively up for, but you know, we're going to have to get to work really quickly.
Hey, things, you know, things that are great don't come easy, do they? So, and one thing I know about you, Leon, you love a challenge.
Massively, yeah. Especially for my hometown team. There's no better feeling. You know, your passion and your I support the club as a fan more than a player.
Yeah, throughout the next few months, there's going to be times we're going to have to put your arm around people. There's going to be times we're going to have to grab people by the scruff of the neck.
You're going to have to put your arm around me, mate. My head's going to probably fall off at some point. You're going to have to look after me.
always be there for you.
No, I'm always joking. No, it'll be all good. It's all good. We're all right. I think the toughest part is not knowing. At least today, the boys have had the meetings with the new owners. People know what's going on, if they're staying or if they're not, if they've been offered a contract. And at least we can start putting these things to bed now and start moving on.
So the future starts today.
It does, Robbie. But I think, you know, I can't tell you how impressed I was today meeting all those players. I mean, the humbleness, the politeness, the professionalism, just the strength of the players, it really came through with every single one of them was the same. I remember thinking, gee, well, that was impressive. But every one of them that we met today, that came through. But to see and experience of both Andrew and I felt for them so much, because I think we certainly, Andrew and I certainly underestimated the stress that they'd been under. And while it's obviously been, you know, very topical here and people talking about it all the time, seeing them firsthand one-on-one and really opening up, I've got nothing but absolute respect for every one of those players. They were just outstanding in their behaviour and in their presentation to us today. I mean, it was just, the club can be so proud of them. They were just fantastic and hopefully we're going to get as many of them signed as possible.
That's wonderful to hear that type of empathy coming from, obviously, owners. Look, we're going to have to go to a break now. When we come back, we're going to be talking about how your feet probably haven't touched the ground, Graham, since you landed here a couple of days ago. We also need to remind everyone that Robbo's big testimonial match against the Bulls is coming up this Sunday. So it's important that all the Bulls fans gets out there and supports this brand new club. So stick with us. We'll be back. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
All right, we're into the final segment of the show. It's been really interesting hearing everything that you've been up to, Graham, in your career, but also I think we need to know what the last couple of days have been like. Obviously, whirlwind, be given the thumbs up on Friday afternoon. You're chilling out in New Zealand somewhere, I'm guessing, and then you're thrown onto a plane. They're 24 hours over there, 12 hours ahead anyway, so you've actually lost 12 hours to get over here. Mate, tell us what it's all been like.
Well, we actually found out Saturday morning New Zealand time, and so Sunday afternoon on the planes out back here, and we arrived Monday afternoon, went straight to the stadium, met with the players and the coaching, the staff there, and sort of enlighten them as much as we could at the time, just to say hello and whatnot. That was Monday gone. Tuesday, to tell the truth, it's a blur. We've had so many meetings. I've just been meeting-a-thons, you know, but there's so many things to do.
Mm-hmm. You're basically piecing together a club again, aren't you?
We are, but we know the responsibility on our shoulders and you know, that people have been patient for so long, and we understand that and accept it. And you know, I'm sure there's some think they're being hard done by at the time because no one said anything to them at this stage. But we can only do one thing at a time, and that's what we've been trying to do. Our first priority was to get Leon, you know, signed and agreed on board and also under.
I can see the crown growing out of his head right now. The crown.
That's just a stress relieving from my brain. It's the stress.
It's not a crown. It's steam.
So now we've met all the players today, and they were good meetings, and I just can't speak highly enough.
Mm-hmm.
But forget anything about what they can do on the football field, as men and as people, the fans should be just so proud of them, because the stress in them is just. It's been so cruel on them. It's been so cruel, but anyhow, we one thing about working with Andrew Chalmers, mate, he's a dead set workaholic, and mm-hmm. we map out a program for the day, and I've yet to see him ever since I've known him put a time for lunch or a cup of tea or anything like that. It's just flat out. So we're seeing
overrated food and
but
sleep.
Their sponsors as well. The three key areas of the players and the. The football part of it, the sponsors and the fans. And, the fans have been patient for so long and, they want us to deliver something. We're absolutely doing the very best we can. This Friday, we've got a major press conference. With a major announcement.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, well, you'll have to wait till Friday. And
come on, Louie.
And,
there's the greatest platform. There's about 3 million people across the world. How many people live in West Yorkshire? 3 million?
No,
they're all. Every single one of them are listening right now. You can't get a better platform than this.
Yeah, and so I can tell them that we're going to have a major announcement on Friday.
Okay.
So, and also an opportunity to update things. But it's just such an. There are so many things to do. There are mm-hmm. so many things to do, and we did really, really good due diligence. With the whole issue here. But I don't think anyone really could put across just how stressful it was and has been on these players. These players have had to cope with so much, and it just rolls on. The sponsors have had to do the same, and so we've got to rebuild relationships with all the sponsors. And we've started doing that, and we've had fantastic response. There's a lot of really, really good people. I mean, the great thing about it is. This is the heart of rugby league, so you're not trying to
create something out of nothing.
They're
really on the same journey as you. They want the same outcome as yourself, don't they? Yeah. They want a successful rugby league team in Bradford.
Yeah. One of the things that rugby league does, it brings out a passion I think that few other sports can boast about. I mean, it's an unusual sport in many ways, rugby league, but. It particularly brings out a passion, and we've been seeing that 24 hours a day since mm-hmm. we stepped off the plane. So there's still a heck of a lot of work to do. And we know that the team needs a lot of building, and we're setting about this. We're doing a heck of a lot. There's a lot of things we can't talk about, and people think they've got the right to know, and unfortunately we've got we've just got to beaver away, and we don't want to. I'd much rather over deliver. We just want to be quiet and go about it. We've got to, this has got to be done right. Yep. This has got to be done right, and it's a massive responsibility that we haven't taken on lightly. I can't tell you how proud we are to do this. And as I said before, talking about the jerseys that you wear during a game, you're guardians of the game for a short period of time,
mm-hmm.
and the history that's. Of rugby league that's in this area, it's got to be protected at absolutely all costs. It's got to be protected. And, we all want to do a little part in trying to do that.
We're confident. Well, we're setting up for Robbo's testimonial. That's sort of still on the agenda.
Yeah, it is. We're really keen to do that. And we're building.
Look at Robbo's smile on his face right now.
We're building towards that. And it's important that, the game of rugby league is about rugby league. So it's important the players get the feel of the ball, remember what it's like to
timing.
Run through gaps, timing, tackling and all the things that they love doing. I hope they love tackling because
it's one of the important aspects of rugby league.
It's half of it.
Well, actually, not. What's tackling, Leon? What's defence?
Does it run around? I don't play the game to tackle. Come on, Robert. We do the good stuff. We score the tries that way.
Piano pushes, piano players, Lloyd. Piano pushes. This is the Piano Players Club.
Yeah.
We discuss long and hard. This isn't about defence. Actually, one of the positive I want to look at in regards to yourselves coming on board, you're rugby league people, you're sports administrator, you were CEO at Manly. You've learned under some of the best, people in the game. Maurice Lindsay, you've mentioned yourself. Over the last couple of administrations, they've not been sports people. Is that thing a benefit for yourselves?
Well, I'd like to, you like to think it's an advantage if you've been involved in the game, but it's not, you can't be disrespectful to others who haven't been involved in the game, because the game is changing and not everyone can play it or be involved. And there's a lot of people there's a lot of people that know a heck of a lot about the game and have never actually played it. You've only got to look at all the mothers. I know nowhere near as much as my mum did. And, I look at the people on the fan, on the stands. They've been standing there for years and years and years. They know and they've seen the changes in the game. You can't teach them how to suck eggs. They are well qualified to understand the game of rugby league, and that's who we're dealing with. And it brings out an emotion in us all.
We've not got a lot of time left. What's your attitude? Obviously, you've been a coach. You've created cultures, winning cultures within teams. One of the things that you're known for. What's your attitude to that sort of culture creation?
Well, I think that the main thing we need is a football culture. That's what we need, a football culture. And with that, there's it's just based on respect and values and whatnot, and things that rugby league stands for.
What do you reckon, boys? Leon, you'll be at the forefront of helping create that culture.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Bradford Bulls that we came through back in the late
90s. We had the culture, didn't we?
It was a massive winning culture, and driven individually by players looking to get out the best in themselves. So we'll be looking to get that culture back again.
Robert, you just want to get a shameless plug in?
Yeah, I'm going to shameless plug. Basically, before the game on Sunday, it's open to Bradford fans as well as Huddersfield. The lads that aren't going to be playing in the game, for £15, your child can get coached by the actual first team players 1 till 2:15. I've four opportunities signing on, and then
Super League stars,
and then they
Robbo will be there,
and then they get to also come in and be mascots, guard of honour, flag bearers, and everything else that goes with it, and also they get entry to the ground.
Where can they get the data?
If they go to Luke_Robinson9 on my Twitter account, everything's on there.
All right, quick shout out. Lowy, thank you for coming on the show tonight. Robbo, Leon, wherever you're listening tonight, we're going to put the show up on the website, so check it out. Have a good time.
This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show on Pulse 1. Wednesday evening from 6.